With the loyalty of the Irish, Haig's power began to grow again. Initially, with the unwitting help of a great reformer, whom the old-time bosses put into power by mistake, the former president of Princeton University, Woodrow Wilson.
There never was a time when impatience and suspicion were more keenly aroused by private power selfishly employed.
Every Irish American in New Jersey utterly despised Woodrow Wilson.
Historian Thomas Fleming.
He was the lowest of the low because he didn't keep his word. Woodrow Wilson made a deal with the bosses of New Jersey that they would run him for governor and then he would give them all the patronage. He double-crossed them and turned into a reformer in front of their appalled eyes.
Governor Wilson put his signature on a law designed to weaken the bosses, the Walsh Act. The intent was to replace the old ward bosses with efficient, business-like professionals. But it had the opposite effect, allowing the emergence of a new kind of political boss with citywide appeal, a man like Frank Haig.
Instead of electing aldermen from various wards or geographical breakdowns, you elected them at large.
Richard J. Connors, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at Seton Hall University.
Which meant that the potential of power was there for somebody who could get the vote out. This was not what the Walsh Act proponents wanted.
Shrewdly, Haig supported municipal reform, and the leading newspaper loved him for it.
What this meant was that the Jersey Journal gave this machine politician, this typical Democratic politician, a lot of free publicity for seeing the light.
In 1913, Haig was elected Commissioner of Public Safety. This put him in charge of Jersey City's police department. He used the position to crack down on vice and police corruption and grew even more popular.
Jersey City was a wide-open town. There were brothels.
Thomas Fleming.
Saloons stayed open all night. Women were swarming in the saloons, and a lot of them were prostitutes. It was a wild scene, and the cops too were completely out of control and making their own deals with the bartenders and everybody else in sight.
The mantle of reformer was not altogether uncomfortable on Frank Haig. It matched his starched collar personality, his modest drinking, his church alliances, and his political instincts. He knew that people were fed up with the unbridled corruption of the American city at the turn of the century. Bob Leach.
He would fire a cop and then put one of his boys in his place. And they became known as the Zeppelins because they acted in stealth. They would spy on the other cops. They were out there to see what policeman was smoking a cigarette on duty or leaning against a lamppost. They would inform Haig if anyone was disloyal to the Haig machine. He had a special limousine he rode in, and he would have three Zeps on each running board hanging onto a railing on top of his limousine. He traveled with this great militaristic presence around him, these Zeps with shiny brass and shiny boots.
Wait me to the idle doodle dum da, me to the idle doodle dum da, me rights call to laddie. Oh, there's whiskey in the jar. Oh, whiskey, you're the devil, or you're leading me astray. Over hills and mountains into a merry kay. Your swath are stronger days, and your spunky earner tay. Oh, whiskey, you're me darling drunk or sober.
Like Frank Haig, the Progressive Era had its puritanical side, Prohibition. The 18th Amendment was enacted in 1918. Jersey City, the town with the saloon on every corner, had to reorganize. Drinking dried up or went underground. Politics moved out of the bar and into the political club. Again, Richard Connors.
So what happened was that Frank Haig's political clubs became social circles. Their only competitors were church organizations like the Holy Name Society and the Rosary Altar Guild. And Frank Haig tried to make sure that the Holy Name Society leaders were his friends as well, and the Rosary Altar Society leaders were his friends as well. The result was that Frank Haig had tremendous power over the social side of Jersey City.
If the men should see the women going to the polls to put down the liquor traffic, need it vex their souls? If we're angels as they tell us, can we once suppose that all the men should frown on us when going to the polls? We love our boys, our household joys.
The 18th Amendment destroyed saloon politics and helped to solidify Haig's power. The 19th Amendment enhanced his reputation as a reformer. In 1920, when Haig realized women would get the vote, he wanted the votes of women. He also believed they should hold office. Haig handpicked a young Catholic social worker to run for Congress. Her name was Mary Norton. Again, historian Barbara Petrick, teacher at Dickinson High School.
When Mary Norton came along to ask Haig for money for the Queen's Daughters Nursery, which was run for poor working women out of St. Joseph's Parish, he was immediately interested in her. I mean, here was the alternate to Cornelia Bradford, the Protestant settlement house. Here was a Catholic woman who was doing the same sort of work. And she was brought along by Haig and given the opportunity to run for office. And of course, it happened to coincide with women getting the vote. She had a very interesting relationship with him. I think she knew him in a way that I don't think other people did. But at any rate, when Frank Haig put her on the State Democratic Committee, that was the first big job, she thought, well, this is ridiculous. I don't know anything about politics. And Haig said to her, well, no woman knows anything about politics, but you'll learn. And she stopped off and talked it over with her brother. Well, her brother died suddenly just before she was going to run, I think, for county freeholder. And she was devastated. And she went to Frank Haig and she cried and she said, I just can't do this. And he scolded her and told her that, you know, what would her brother think of this? It was her responsibility to do this. And she said, he talked to me like, I think it was that fatherly, authoritarian, you can do this. Put metal up her backbone, and she was totally loyal to men. I mean, she saw him as being a guiding hand to her. And it was far-sighted of him to realize that he should have a woman representing Hudson County there. And she did a good job in Congress, from what I read.